Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome. I'm Major Mike Gary, the host for today's Whistleblower Report, and this is going to be a legal report or a legal segment. And I've got two great guests with me today. I have got Captain Bahij Saliba and Lieutenant Mark Bashaw. And we're going to be talking about holding our public officials accountable, or organizations that we're a part of or people are a part of in this country. So it's interesting where so many things are coming around. And what I mean by that is the truth is coming out in all directions now. And it's a bad time to be in a position of authority if you've been one that has propagated lies or hurt the people of this country in some way. So it's interesting that we find ourselves with what I like to consider the gladiators. The gladiators have risen to the top, or the cream has come to the top now, and are still holding their guidons out in front and pursuing the good fight. And we've had a tremendous amount of whistleblowers come out of all organizations and entities over the last 3 years against these highly illegal mandates. But at this point, it's only the gladiators that are continuing to hold the authorities accountable. And there's some pretty amazing things that are being done, notices given that are holding these people's feet to the fire. And I would just like to open here with this People's Declaration I found. And I found this on the People's Operation Restoration website run by Mickey Klon and Maureen Steele. And I think it will really set the tone for the show that we're going to do here. It says, the People's Declaration, we the people of the United States, in order to restore our once perfect union, reestablish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense of all, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish the restorative movement of the People's Operation Restoration for the United States of America. We declare and decree the courts, public servants, and all the persons responsible for harming the people be held accountable for their actions and harm caused, and that our nation operate under the law of the land, our cherished Constitution, and charters of freedom. We are the people of the United States of America, and we stand together under the banner of freedom. Freedom is the one thing that unites us all. Liberty flows through all of our veins. Who are we? We are truckers, moms, students, nurses, doctors, investors, county workers, teachers, cowboys, loggers, engineers, sanitation workers, professors, cashiers, flight attendants, pilots, sales reps, physical therapists. We are fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, married, single, divorced, separated, gay, straight. We are Black, white, Asian, Native American, a multitude of nationalities. We are immigrants, natives, short, tall, fat, skinny. We are living men and women of a free world. To our elected officials that believe they rule us, you work for us. Our Constitution was written to provide enough power to act on a national level, but not enough to deprive the people of fundamental rights, liberties, and freedoms. The people are prepared to see this through, as we have seen all of our fights for freedom through. And as in the past, we will know victory and we will prevail and prosper. And along with declarations and decreeing things are oaths, which are incredibly important. And our public officials are supposed to have proper oaths that they take before God in representing we, the people. And in Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And then we know, because there's been a lot of talk about the sign of Jonah lately around the eclipse that just occurred. It says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 16, it says this: these are the men that were on the ship that was about to be destroyed until they cast Jonah over into the sea. They say this: then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows, because as soon as they threw Jonah into the sea, the storm departed and they saw God's mighty work. They took vows to God. So vows and oaths are incredibly important and powerful. And that's why our foundation and our founders knew to set all these things up this way. So Captain Saliba, would you give the audience a brief overview of who you are? You've been on our shows before, but kind of update them. It's been a while since you've been on one of our programs, of who you are, how you got into the situation you're in, and what you're currently working on, without getting too in-depth yet.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Captain Saliba, I am an American Airlines captain, and I've been with the airline for 26 years, been flying for 40 years, and I've flown several different aircraft. I'm a flight instructor, and I saw things coming our way early on in 2020, and then progressively in 2021, things were ratcheting up towards violating basic federal aviation laws in the airline industry, and the imposition of certain medical treatments, such as the what they call the vaccines, which really that's a decision to be made at some point, whether they truly are or not. I don't think they are. But anyway, it got to the point where they were threatening the pilots with their jobs, just like everybody else. And those who gave in and took the shots, some have actually perished. And that's when I kicked up in high gear and became an activist, if you will. And I challenged the company, and I've been doing that since then. The company, of course, American Airlines, retaliated against me, and they used every tool in the shed to silence me, up to and including placing me on unpaid leave, which has been the case since August of 22. So this has started since then. Since 2020, 2021, it got really intensified, and I'm still fighting in court and through the legal system, which is what I will be talking about here as well on the show. But yeah, everybody kind of went back to work and kind of forgot about what they were exposed, what they were subjected to, and all the unlawful policies that the airlines created and enforced under threat of the coercive threat of termination, and just people gave up. And now they're back to normal life, so to speak, and they just want to forget about it. That's not a good thing, because if violations have been committed, and you can't move from a violation and pretend it never happened, because it will happen again and again and again. And safety in aviation is paramount. And this is where I'm locked in the defense of safety for everybody who gets on airplanes. It's a duty, really.
Well, thank you, Captain Saliba. This is why I consider you a gladiator in this fight. There's nobody else that's going to see it all the way through in the airline industry like you. So we thank you for that. For the listeners out there, the last show that we did with Captain Saliba was called Airline Pilots Contract Threatens Pilots' Health and Public Safety. So that's a number of months ago, but you can go back and listen to his story with Dr. Vliet then. Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, would you please give us a current update? Talk about some of the past things you've done with the foundation, but also give us a quick update on what you're currently doing.
Yeah, so Lieutenant Bashaw, I'm a first lieutenant in the Army for the Republic, to secure the Republic. And I was a first lieutenant at the Army Public Health Center, where I submitted protected communication to my chain of command. And after I did, I got court-martialed. I got banned from my place of duty for 573 days. I got threatened with Leavenworth imprisonment. I got weaponized behavioral health appointments against me. They stripped me of promotion. The list goes on and on and on and on and on about the things they did to me after I brought up safety signals and protected communication about these masks and tests and injections for COVID-19. So I was blessed to meet Dr. Lee Vliet and work with her as a volunteer and on the Military Advisory Council, and receive a legal defense grant in support during my court martial conviction and testimony and sentencing and all of that. So I've been truly blessed to work with the foundation and help out there. And currently, like I said, I still actively serve as a first lieutenant in the Republic, the Army for the Republic, to secure the Republic against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And though that looks very different from my time at the Army Public Health Center and what I did in the United States, all caps, Army, it's still very critically important at this point in time during this foreign belligerent occupation that we find ourselves in.
Well, thank you. I think you can hear why he's still a gladiator in the fight here. Captain Saliba. So I was looking at some of the email traffic here that we're discussing, and it seems to me that the current situation that you're pursuing is that the FAA has essentially or has adopted a new medical standard, because most of the pilots got jabbed. So this is essentially a new medical standard that's been created. And I was reading a little bit of the FAA's interpretation of interference with a crew member. And it certainly looks to me in that document, it looks like if you give somebody a shot of poison, that is certainly interfering with their ability to fly an aircraft. Do you want to kind of take it away and tell us about your current battle between the FAA and the plane industry?
Yeah, that is correct. What you stated, it is there is a rule. It's 14 CFR paragraph 91.11, and that is the legal interpretation for interference with the flight crew member while during the performance of their duty. So the FAA has it on their website. They have a clarification for the interpretation of that rule. So the rule originally was designed for passengers who are on board the aircraft who would interfere with the crew members, like flight attendants and pilots, then they would get prosecuted for interfering with crew members. But then there was a case that set the wheels in motion where the FAA interpretation changed to reflect that you don't have to be on board the aircraft to interfere with a flight crew member. And the case was briefly a helicopter pilot was getting ready to take off, and another helicopter pilot who's on the ground came up and assaulted the operating helicopter pilot. So that was, he was prosecuted, and that's a court case, which then translated to laser pointing. So now when you point a laser at an aircraft, that is the legal interpretation for interfering with a flight crew member. So there's no difference between pointing a laser at a pilot or assaulting a pilot physically, or at the end of a needle, a loaded needle with a concoction that may cause incapacitation in flight. They are all physical harm that the pilots are subjected to. Now, the medical part of this is where these shots would cause the harm, because now you're not only affected while you're on the aircraft, you're affected all the time. You see, so you're affected when you're in the terminal, in dispatch, you're looking at your flight planning, you're making decisions for the flight. So the assault is not only when you're on board the aircraft. That goes with you all the time. It's your medical condition, right? So, and this is what I am pushing the FAA to acknowledge. And that is that the airlines violated that rule by interfering with flight crew member duties by coercing them under threat of termination to accept a medical treatment. And I mean any medical treatment. It doesn't matter whether it's the COVID shots or an aspirin. It doesn't matter. They interfered in the flight crew member duty. And that's a violation. And they can be subject to imprisonment, really. So who would you go after?
This is extremely funny, interesting timing, I guess, because it was a day or two ago that AstraZeneca admitted in a court case that myocarditis is a thing that their shot does create. So it's going to be tougher and tougher for the airline industry to deflect what you're bringing against them, the notices that you're bringing to their doorstep, because the science and the truth is just continuing to mount against what people in authority did to harm pilots and we the people. Yeah, so I just wanted to add that in there, Captain Saliba, so everybody kind of knows the timing of this recording.
Absolutely. And the thing with this is the one thing that pilots have that is so different than anybody else in any other profession, and that is a medical certification that they must have to operate aircraft, any aircraft, whether it's commercially or privately. Commercially, it gets a little more involved because now you're stepping into an area of liability, an area of commercial, into a commercial area, right? So the way I like to explain pilot medical certification is as follows. I'd say we, the people who hold the power, we lend it to Congress. We don't give it to Congress because we only lend it to them to create laws. And what Congress did is they created a law called the Federal Aviation Act of 1958, which then created the FAA. And then the FAA, basically as a servant to the people, is making all these rules, all these statutes that serve the people, okay? So the FAA is basically the agent of the people. And the agent of the people cannot be delving into areas that they cause a situation where the people cannot find remedy. And by that, what I'm trying to say is that the FAA itself does not impose any medical treatment on pilots. They don't, because they are the agent. I mean, imagine your agent imposes a medical treatment that causes a crash. How do you get remedy? Right? Where do you get your remedy? Your agent is you. You're the people. You know, a notice to agent is notice to principal. Notice to principal is notice to agent, right? So you can't find remedy. Therefore, the FAA cannot impose any medical treatment. And the way they run it is they have a wall of separation between the airline certification and the pilot medical certification. The airlines cannot cross that wall. That's a border they cannot cross, because they would be violating the terms of the medical certification and the process. The process is heavily based in informed consent and self-declaration. So two things that are, as a result of what has happened in the past couple of years, have been essentially destroyed, in my opinion, because when you force somebody to take a medication, they don't have, you know, you coerce them in the threat of termination, they don't have informed consent. They don't, informed consent and that, the coercion, do not coexist. Okay, so that's gone out the window. It's done. There's no informed consent. The second one is the self-declaration. If a pilot is hurt because of these jabs, rest assured, very, very few will come forward and declare their health condition, okay? So it's really, really damaging to the process, what has happened and what the FAA allowed the airlines to do in the past few years. So the FAA sets the standard, and I believe that the FAA needs to protect the standards and not allow airlines to create their airline-specific standard. Today, it's the COVID jabs. Tomorrow, it's the disease X jab. And what's next? Where does it stop? This is why the medical certification of pilots is public policy, and it's important to protect it. It's extremely important. And yeah, this is what I'm working on.
Yeah, so the one way I like to think of this, and this is an approach I kind of take as I've moved up in rank over my career, is I like to take a customer service approach, and the customer is always right, you know, and that's how they need to be treated with the utmost care. And so that kind of positions you in a way to be a servant, a true public servant, if the customer is always right or you always intend to meet their needs. But that's not what has happened in this country. People that have gotten or who have been placed in these positions of authority have misused their authority, and they have forced their will down onto the customer or the people. So that's one way I like to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Lieutenant Mark, you want to add something there? I think the gears are turning there. I think you wanted to say something.
I mean, they're going outside the box that we put them in. And the box is the Constitution, which is the social contract between the people. That's the box they're supposed to operate in. Yet they've gone outside the box. And we're talking about notices. And I met Captain Saliba a few times over the past year or so. And he told me about the notice that he served the federal air surgeon, which is Susan Northrup. And I was in support of that, to demand an investigation and admin action into what he just described, into this forcefulness of forcing pilots, our entire aviation industry, into an experimental injection. And that's putting it nicely. At this point in time, I think we can say bioweapon, but at the very least, an experimental injection. And not only that, the masking as well, forcing pilots to be masked while they walk through the terminals to then get on their plane to be masked again. And How many pilots did we force into the diagnostic protocols where they had to shove that Q-tip up their nose because they didn't want to participate with the injections? So we have a multitude of things going on here attacking the FAA and the pilots and our industry here and the pilots, which are the most healthiest people on arguably the most healthiest people in the United States. They have to be based upon the physicals they have to go through to be able to fly commercially and be entrusted to fly other human beings from destination A to B. So we forced all of these individuals into an experimental bioweapon. And if they didn't want to participate that, they were forced into an experimental bioweapon masking and bioweapon diagnostic protocols. And I would say the diagnostic protocols were the most, from my standpoint as a public health officer at the Army Public Health Center, knowing that technology they used for diagnostics, I would say the diagnostics were the most, that's what created the pandemic. That's what created the Hegelian dialect. That's what created the case rate, you know, an immense amount of false positives with this PCR, this bogus system to codify the body as being sick, even though somebody doesn't necessarily have symptoms. And then we go on to force them to be masked, and then we force them into an experimental injection. So this is a huge issue. So with that notice that we just talked about, and I think we could probably talk about after the break, you know, she is in a position, in a duty. She has vested authority to do the right thing and conduct an investigation.
And just to add, that's Dr. Susan Northrup that Lieutenant Mark is talking about, the FAA aeromedical chief.
Yep. Susan Northrup. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mark. We're going to a break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss this topic more about holding our public servants accountable and giving them notice when they need it. And we're going to, again, continue along the FAA level, but we're also going to get into some small town politics and talk about some city mayors that can be held accountable. So this should be an interesting show up and down the chain of our political spectrum. Also, I'd like you to go to our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Check out our resources, our COVID treatment guide, our COVID vaccine injury treatment guide. You can go to our Vax Damage site where you can check into your vaccine injury. You can actually file a report in our system, which we're looking to put together federal false claims acts that may come out of that. Also, to point you in the right direction for medical help if that's needed. You can also go to our nutraceutical and supplement store on our website. We have the highest grade nutraceuticals and supplements that are made under good manufacturing procedures, unlike most out there. And you can also check out some of our Faith Over Fear seminars. We'll be back right after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Hi,
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth for Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth for Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth for Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the second half of the show. This is the Whistleblower Report, and this is another legal segment where we're talking about holding our public servants and officials accountable by serving them notices if that's needed. And I have Captain Saliba and Lieutenant Bashaw with me, and we're talking about some different levels, whether it's the FAA level or a city level, holding those officials accountable. Before the break, we were still discussing the FAA and Susan Northrup, if I said that correct, Captain Saliba. What did you want to finish about holding the FAA accountable?
Yeah, thank you. I want to pick up a little bit, just a couple points that Lieutenant Mark mentioned in the first segment about the masking of pilots. The FAA never regulated masking for pilots, which means that there is no legal ground. There's no legal interpretation. If you remember in the first segment, I was mentioning the legal interpretation. Everything that the FAA does must be supported by a legal interpretation. So when they did not regulate the masks for pilots, there is absolutely no legal interpretation for wearing a mask, restricting your breathing as a pilot. So if something happens, you are essentially on your own. You're not doing something that has been authorized by the FAA. That's one. Two, every pilot must sign declarations before every flight confirming that he is fit for duty and everything that's under the dispatch procedures is in compliance with the law. So that is a social contract, like Lieutenant Mark was talking about. We have a contract with the people. I'm declaring that I'm going to take you from point A to point B safely. And if my airline interferes in that process, then they have interfered in that contract as well. So, but this is where I focus heavily on the law and try to shy away from the medical aspect of this, because I'm not a doctor. I can bring something up, but then somebody else will say, well, how do you know? You don't have any proof. You're not a doctor. You're not this. You know, so I just shy away from that, and I stick with the law. So back to the FAA, back in October 1821, I filed my first safety report with the FAA respecting the COVID jabs and the signature for fit for duty. So these are the two things that are really critical for me at the time. I thought of were very extremely critical, and they carry a so much legal weight that I thought, look, they got to know about this, because I'm being forced to make these declarations and I don't like it. It's just, there's a violation somewhere. Well, that report was tossed aside. I didn't hear anything from them. That was almost 2.5 years ago, right? And then I filed again a report similar to it, but expanded with evidence to support my allegations on December 4th of 2023. And then again, I supplemented that report with another one on January 11th, respecting the contract that the union, the pilot union, was very instrumental in enforcing the pilots to take the shots as well. And the contract that they signed with the company. And I didn't hear anything about it from them at all for almost 3 months. And then I sent them the notice. And that's when they acted. That's when they sent all the evidence and the documentation of my complaint. They forwarded that to the FAA Aeromedical Office under the leadership of Dr. Susan Northrup. So now she is in control of that process. But this was an extremely good step because now we know that they have launched an investigation of some sort. Okay, now they can bury that very easily. And this is where the pressure has to build on the FAA to say, you know, we know that you have a report, we know about all these violations, and we are expecting you to perform as a servant of the people. We're watching you, so don't sweep it under the rug. There are major violations here that need to be looked at.
Yeah,
so
I got a question for you. You're saying before every flight, the pilot has to sign off that he's fit for duty. That's a fit for duty declaration every flight,
yes.
Correct?
Okay. Yes.
So if you're a pilot that's experienced an adverse event or a side effect from these vaccines, or for that matter, from anything, if you've experienced a side effect and you fill that out, you're technically lying. And that's a whole lot of lying for every flight you do, correct?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, US 18 code 1001 addresses that issue. That's falsifying a statement to the government. That's 5 years in jail or $250,000 fine, or both. Okay, so for pilots, what we do is we make our declarations when we go to the what we call the AME, the Aeromedical Examiner, FAA Aeromedical Examiner. We fill out the application and we declare what our health is. And then after the examination, we sign a medical certificate. The agency signs as well. So the AME signs it and I sign it. That's an agreement. That's a contract. That's a social contract, at least, right? And then when I report for duty on the job, let's say I have a trip that's 3 days, 4 days, on the first day, I sign that I am fit for duty for that trip. And then before every flight, I have to sign again that I am fit to conduct that specific flight for that moment, because your health can change from moment to moment to moment. And anything that you consume can affect you.
Wow. This is really interesting.
Can I jump in real quick?
So yeah, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the oath. The oath of office that a public servant takes. That reminds me, that's almost like your oath for your health. So help you God that you can, you know, fly that plane as a capable human body to get your passengers, the men and women and children, passengers to the safely to point A to point B. It's a contract, just like the oath of office, which is a contract, which most public servants aren't aware of. Like Susan Northrup, she's under contract and she has your legal notice and she's bound by her oath of office, her contract, to ensure that an investigation happens. And if she does not conduct an investigation based upon the evidence that you submitted to her, she's in breach of contract.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an interesting parallel. I forget to bring this up, but it's very similar to pilots. So I was the deputy commander of a CBRN and Bio-Rad response team, and our survey guys, the men that would go into a fully encapsulated suit, could be women too, they had to sign off on a medical waiver, which was similar to the declaration that you're talking about. And when the shots were being fielded, it was disgusting, in fact, that it was known that they couldn't perform, so they would set out the survey personnel. They wouldn't even bother going into the suit if they got the shot the day or two before. So that became an acceptable practice. The whole time, and again, I'm watching 10 different people do this, go through this process, and I'm like, why wouldn't we stop giving this to these people? But anyway, so I just wanted to highlight a very similar situation in the hazmat field as well, if you're going into fully encapsulated suits. Go ahead, Captain Saliba, finish your thought.
Yeah, and I'll thank you. So the focus now is on the FAA Aeromedical Office. This is where the ball is, and this is where it has to be kept until we get something out of it, because they cannot gaslight us anymore. This is really critical. And just, I want to add one more thing. Airline pilots are roughly, I keep saying this, 0.02 of the population of the United States. That's it, right? These are commercial airline pilots. But we move the country. We really move the country, right? So why would you risk the transportation system by subjecting that small group to an experimental medication? It is just the FAA. You see, the FAA, I give them some leeway in the beginning, when they were bombarded with, oh, you're going to die if you don't take this. I say, okay, you know what? You were under the same impression like the millions of Americans, that you're going to die if you don't take this. And you said, a pilot may take the shot, but you must comply with the standards of issue of your medical certificate. They didn't say, you just take it. You can just take it. You still have to comply with the medical standards. And there's another rule that I talk about a lot. It's 14 CFR 6153, and which says that if you know or you have a reason to know of any medical condition that may affect you in a way that you can't meet the standard, you are not to act as pilot in command or any pilot capacity. So you don't have to be suffering from the condition. All you have to do is know or have a reason to know of the condition. You don't create the condition, in other words, and then go fly an airplane. So if you know that the shot is going to cause myocarditis, you don't take the shot and go fly an airplane, even if the FAA says you can. Legally, the legal interpretation is that rule that I just cited, 6153. That's where the legal interpretation for avoiding a deficiency like that, that may cause a catastrophic event and death and destruction to property. So it's a serious business. And I want to add one more thing, or a couple more things. These are from the Federal Aviation Act of 1958, sections 301A and 601A. 301A, I already mentioned once, which says that the FAA may not be subject to other agencies, so their decisions have to be independent, safety-oriented, where safety is mentioned 47 times in the Act. The second thing, and I'm going to read it, 601A says, the administrator shall exercise and perform his powers and duties under this Act in such manner as will best tend to reduce or eliminate the possibility of or recurrence of accidents in transportation. Even the possibility. But, this is the kicker here, this is the very important part, but shall not deem himself required to give preference to either air transportation or other air commerce in the administration and enforcement of this title. What does that mean? That means if he has to shut down an airline because they violated safety, he will shut it down. He has to shut it down. This is the law. The law tells him to do it. It's imposed upon him. It's not optional. And this is where I'm driving to get these agents to work for us. And there's a way out. They don't have to shut down the airlines. There's a way out. They can set up the airlines who impose this on the pilots can set up a fund to take care of the pilots who they have hurt, you see? And we can keep going and then monitor the rest of the pilots who they, hey, we've got problems. They already investigated 5,000 pilots who had discrepancies in their declarations on their medical. They're going to have more than that now, because the pilots are not going to declare that they're having symptoms because of the shots. So this is really serious. And we really, really need to put pressure on the FAA to act.
Yeah, and it's too bad, because the FAA was set up essentially to protect pilots. Essentially, it's this simple. Don't participate in risky behavior is what I'm hearing you say a lot.
Bottom line is, it's a 24/7 affair for pilots. You don't do anything that's going to cause a deficiency later on down the road. And so if you have a 3-4 day trip, you are expected to be in, you're expected to meet the standards all the time. So you can't not meet the standards. So yes, it's really critical, and this is where they dropped the ball. So the FAA originally said, oh, you may take it, but you got to comply with the standard. But then the airline said, you have to take it. And then they created that alternate standard or second tier medical standard or airline specific medical standard. And the FAA didn't do a thing. They should have protected the standard.
We should have protected the standard.
And they can still do that. And this is what I'm pushing for. And
Nice.
I want to jump in real quick and speak to the public pressure you talked about and how incredibly important that is. The people listening right now, the men and women listening right now, need to understand that the highest court in the land is not the Supreme Court of the United States. It is the court of public opinion. And you need to understand how incredibly powerful you are as an individual in the Republic. And we no longer need to look for politicians or voting booths to solve our problems. We need to take the responsibility as men and women who understand the power that is given to us by Almighty God first, but also we need to understand the social contract that we have in place, which is the constitutions within each state of the union, and then that central government constitution as well, which is the United States Constitution. And for anybody out there listening that wants to support Captain Salibas and serving notice, certified notice, a lawful notice to the FAA, to Susan Northrop, the surgeon for the Office of Federal Air Surgeon, they can mail to room 800 West, 800W, 800 Independence Ave Southwest, Washington, D.C., area code 2 or zip code 20591. And furthermore, I want to this is from the Massachusetts Constitution, Article 5, Massachusetts Constitution. Quote, all power residing originally in the people and being derived from them, the several magistrates and officers of government vested with authority, aka their oath of office, whether legislative, executive, or judicial, are their substitutes and agents. And are at all times accountable to them. Who is them? Them is the people. And the people need to understand that we can't sit on the sidelines and say, nothing's ever going to happen. Nothing ever happens. Nobody's ever going to do anything. Well, if you're saying that, my only question to you is, what are you doing? Have you served lawful notice? Have you petitioned for redress of grievance? Because per the Constitution, per every Constitution, there's step work. And the first step in the Constitution is Article 1, which is your redress of grievance, to stand upon your unalienable rights, to petition for grievance, because sometimes these public servants are completely moronic and have no clue what they're doing, and they need a little nudge from the people who have all the power, who possess all the power. And we don't, at no point in time, till we give that power away. We consent with our form of government, which is the Constitution. And I do want to mention a little effort going on in Newburyport, Massachusetts, the town where God brought me into this world. This mayor of this town, Mayor, I can't even call him a mayor right now. I'm going to just use his regular name because I don't consider him a mayor. Mayor Sean Reardon, Newburyport, Massachusetts, declared that he was going to fly the foreign transvestite flag on publicly owned property at City Hall. And I found out about this from family members, and I live in Texas, but God brought me into this world in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and that's where I left for service to our nation. Is that state and is that city? And so I took it upon myself to serve that mayor with a cease and desist notice. Do not fly that foreign trans flag on publicly owned property. I gave him a lawful notice. It was certified mail. He received it. And during his little speech prior to raising that flag and capitulating to a foreign belligerent enemy, he mentioned in that speech, because I had people on the ground that were listening in, he mentioned that he did receive those public cease and desist letters, one from California, one from Texas, and one from a man in Massachusetts. And we were all Massachusetts-born natives. And we told him to cease and desist, and he raised that flag. And furthermore, I sent notice to the clerk to ask for their oaths of office. And guess what? They didn't possess any oaths of office on record. So that means that this individual not only capitulated with a foreign enemy, but he is a foreign belligerent occupying power of Newburyport, Massachusetts at this present time. And for whatever reason, if they decide to produce oaths of office, that would just change their status from foreign belligerent occupying power to treason, because they're aiding and abetting a foreign ideology and subverting our nation with a trans flag that is completely foreign and belligerent and is devoid of all morality in which this country was founded upon in our founding documents. So I encourage the people out there listening to stand up and to understand the power you possess, and to dig into your state constitutions and to stand upon your fundamental rights, your unalienable rights given to you by God. The Constitution didn't create your rights. The Constitution is the box we put government in. So put them back in their box.
That's a great distinction there, Mark. Everybody should take heed to what you just said there and switch their way of thinking about it. We've been so long oppressed these last decades, and we're so used to being told what to do by the government. It's time to put the government back into the box. These public servants should be forced to do what they're supposed to do, follow their oaths, and provide good, helpful service to we the people. Any addresses that have been mentioned in this show for the listeners out there, we will have the addresses in our write-up for both the FAA and the town hall or city hall for Newburyport, Mass. Captain Saliba, do you have any closing thoughts before we end our program?
Yes, I'd like to add, I just remembered, and now this is something that maybe an attorney general would be interested in, or some. I think it has to be a public figure that would tackle something like this, because it is what I'm going to describe is extortion. Okay, here's the deal. So I already explained that we as pilots have to sign declarations that we are fit for duty. So the way I'm going to lay this out is, because the airlines coerced pilots under threat of termination to accept a medical treatment, followed by the declaration of fit for duty, because then that would be under coercive measures. And the declaration is an interest held by the agency, i.e. the FAA or the people, because the people are the ones who are interest holders in that declaration. And they operate aircraft for profit. They essentially committed extortion. Under threat of termination, they extorted a fit for duty, which is an interest held by the people to operate aircraft for profit. You can see that loop right there. That is, I think, is extortion. And an attorney general should be looking at this very closely. But I second what Lieutenant Mark said about the notices. They are effective. It really, they do work. It does depend on who receives the notice and who reads the notice. And whether they are arrogant enough to disregard the notice or comply with the notice. For example, in Arizona, they used to advertise the COVID shots on the freeways. Well, we served them with a notice, and that stopped. We served the Department of Transportation with a notice, their board of directors, and that practice stopped. So they are effective, they do work, and you got to keep them coming, because when people read the notice and they realize they're violating the Constitution, they're violating the law, many of them are not going to sleep at night. And this is the objective of a notice, is to make the person correct the behavior. So, yeah, keep up the good work and learn about them and use them.
And on top of what you're saying, real quick, I just want to give a plug out there to the website I created. It's freedomfighter1776.com. Over there, I commissioned a court. Like I mentioned earlier, the court of public opinion is the highest court in the land. And I commissioned a court over there, and you can go over there. You can get templates to write your own notices. You can see Captain Saliba's, some of his work and the notice I sent over to the FAA. You can see the notice I sent to the belligerent Newburyport mayor that flew that foreign flag and things like that. But that is the highest court in the land, the court of public opinion. And to stand upon your power as a man or woman in this republic.
Yeah, and we will have that website linked below as well when we do the write-up. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. It has been a really good show. It's been interesting, but it's also been uplifting for me, seeing at two different levels, whether it's the FAA level, one of the higher levels, down to a smaller city level. The gladiators, as I call it, are putting the public servants' feet to the fire in bringing back the original standards that we had, which is totally a refreshing thing at this point juncture in time. And as we see with all the truth and science coming out, it's all landing in the side of the truth tellers. And those people that have done wrong are going to be held accountable. Whether by us or by the failed mistakes that they have made. So we thank you, gentlemen. It's been a great show. I want to thank our donors. Sign up to give us donations, as your donations have helped our nation's finest fight for our rights. As you can tell with this story especially, you can go to www.truthforhealth.org. You can join our crusade, We Are Silent No More. Sign up for our email alerts and check out all our resources that we provide, from medical advice to ministry help, and certainly concentrating on constitutional rights information. I'm Major Mike Gary, and I'm signing off.